It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication.
Welcome to Riff Raff Radio in Black August. This is your resident post-incarcerated poverty scholar in the struggle, Tiny, daughter of my mama D, strong Black Indian mama for without whom there would be no me, Asheo mama. In studio today are my brothers, poverty and migrante scholars, Muti Alo Silencio and Leo Stegman.
On today's show, we will speak with mama scholar Genevieve from Anaheim, who lost her son to police violence, in an interview with the Black Lives Liberation Party on the upcoming documentary in honor of Black August. Coming up on the dirty south floor, the roads being exposed to the Panther code made me a soldier, a child of the 10-point platform and rap form. Word to the Chewy P tatted on my left arm is full life. Cause if it wasn't for the Panthers, the real OGs like Akua and Fred Hampton and comrades on the west coast side and watch East Coast BLA returning shots at cops. It wouldn't be no free school lunches. It was Mutulu Shakur that gave was acupuncture to cure the junkies, the real warriors, up early feeding children.
We're here with powerful Shango from the amazing Black Writers Liberation Party, and we are actually speaking with him partly just because he's a revolutionary partner doing powerful work, but also as part of our Black August celebration. The powerful Black Writers have just put out a documentary, and we wanted to feature a little bit about that and tell listeners to go. Shango, can you tell listeners about the documentary?
Right on, Pride to the People. I definitely can, but I just wanted to state that we don't celebrate Black August. We commemorate and observe it. It's a month of resistance, and it's a dark time coming out of the hells of the concentration camps, California penitentiaries and whatnot. You know, we definitely celebrate the resistance, but, you know, it's not necessarily a happy time. So our documentary basically is, it's kind of like a year in Black August. We started recording it last year, Black August, and from there we've just been recording different actions and stuff that we've been doing throughout the community. It's a highlight, you could say, of the Northern California chapter's application of confrontational politics. Confrontational politics is a tactic created by General Taco, the founder and the leader of the Black Riders, which basically puts a lot of emphasis on capturing the imagination of the people by confronting the enemy directly. Police brutality, quote-unquote black-on-black violence, and things to that nature.
Do you have a general message that you want to get to the public by the showing of this movie?
Please support revolutionary independent media and propaganda. You know, we see ourselves as one of the main revolutionary forces with potential to actually combat this fascist state, because we already live in a state of warfare, whether it be tribal warfare. We can redirect that to be revolutionary warfare against the enemy. So just support, you know, spread the word. We have one on the 24th at Revolution Cafe on 7th Street in West Oakland, I believe at 7 o'clock. Of course, we're going to be doing one with Fort News at the Pachamama Garden House, I believe, the 29th, if that's what we decided on. You know, look for it. It's called Let Them Hear You Coming.
Shango, this is Mutialo, bro. Just the importance about Black August, right, because A lot of folks, you know, are naive that we reached the mountaintop because Obama is in the president chair, right? What do you have to say about that and still the work that needs to be done in our community?
Well, Black August, one thing we need to really understand and realize is that it started in the concentration camps and the razor wire plantations of California, and it's essential that we as people of color and working class anti-imperialist people reconnect. The movement out here on the street, or what I call open air prison, to the prison inside, which is, you know, the modern day version of chattel slavery. You know, it's a lot of black and brown people who no longer are, you know, at the bottom of the barrel in the workforce because they're shipping us straight into prison. You know, a lot of things is technological now. So the jobs that we used to slave away at now are basically gone. So we work in the prison. So it's important that we draw attention to that, especially with the hunger strike that's going on right now in California and all over the nation, and the worker strikes within the prison. Black August, some people, you know, because the word black is in there, tend to try to make it some pork chop, super dashiki-wearing, abstract connection back to Africa, when the reality is it's on scientific resistance related to the prison-industrial complex. And it's important we draw the connection back to that so the brothers and sisters too, but mainly the brothers, you know, who started this, get recognition and the support that they need in order for us to really get free. As far as Obama, you know, it's the same neocolonial politics. You know, a black face in a high place does not equal freedom. But some people are complacent, and that's why there's not a lot of coverage around the hunger strike. So us, the conscious ones, to bring that to the forefront, as opposed to Obama and his fake health care plan and, you know, the fake right-wing, left-wing debates that they got. It's really two sides of the same coin. You know, we point out all of the things that Obama's doing in Africa. We can see that he's not no friend to nobody of the working class, whether he's a so-called black man or not.
We with you 100%. That's the point, is we need our own poor people-led, indigenous people-led, African people-led, self-determined revolution. So we with you 100%, and we definitely encourage listeners to go out to, again, you said the 24th at Revolutionary Cafe, Revolution Cafe in West Oakland?
It's right next to Bikes for Life and One Fam, right there on 7th Street, across the street from the post office.
Also, it will be showing at 8032 MacArthur in Deep East Oakland on August 29th at 6:30 p.m. So come out to one of those times, and thank you, and keep up the struggle, brother. All power to the peoples.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all too. All power to the people.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees. Stand clear. Done, man, attack. You can't stand where I stand. You can't walk where I walk. Watch out. We run New York. Policeman come. We bust them out the park. I know this for a fact. You don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack. But you be doing that. I'd rather say see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be your officer, your wicked overseer. Your hot shot, you wanna get props.
As most conscious listeners know, Poor Magazine, mamas, daddies, uncles, and auntie scholars are constantly dealing with and resisting the ongoing police harassment of our families and our communities.
In July, one of our young poverty scholars, Leontine Smith, went to Anaheim to report and support on a huge march of resistance to police brutality. On the phone, we are blessed to have with us today Genevieve, who lost her son, Manuel Angel Diaz, killed by the Anaheim police. Genevieve, are you there?
I'm here.
Myself and Mutiado and Lee are on the phone. Could you tell us what happened a year ago? Was it a year ago?
It was a year ago, July 21st, 2012. It was a few minutes before 4 o'clock, and my son was in the alley at Anna Drive, speaking with a friend at his car. All of a sudden, unmarked car pulls up. Two big guys get out and they point at him. So my son ran. He didn't know who they were and he didn't know why they pointed at him. After he ran a short distance, he was trapped by a fence, and the officer came around the corner, opened fire on him, shot him first in the lower back, and the second bullet was to the back of his head. He laid there more than 20 minutes before they let paramedics come to try to assist him. And he waited for me at the hospital till I was able to come home and say goodbye.
Wow. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry. How old was your son, hon?
He had been 25 for 8 days.
Oh, my God.
He was never married. He'll never be able to.
Yeah.
He'll never be able to give me a grandchild.
You know, a lot of us mamas and folks up at, in the Bay Area, as you probably already know, have been fighting this police murder for so many of our young ones, you know, specifically poor peoples, peoples of color. So we feel you. We're 100% with you. We do this work all the time, specifically at Poor Magazine and Prensa Pobre, because that's what a lot of us folks are dealing with. Can you tell listeners about what happened in the community after this?
The same night that it happened, of course, I was at the hospital dealing with the doctors, nurses, police, detectives. They're all there. They're telling me I can't touch my son. They'll let me see him to say goodbye, but I can't touch him. So when I seen Fruitvale Station, I felt the pain of the mother. I really did. You know, they call them a crime scene. Well, who made it a crime scene? The police did. And I very strongly feel like a police is sworn to protect and serve. These cops are killers. They don't even deserve to be called a policeman. They're killers. They're killer cops. Anyway, the same day, the community came out to show their anger for killing an innocent man. They were out there just protesting, and the cops came and opened up on fire with those bullets. They set a dog free. You can see where they just let the dog go into the community. almost bit a baby. The father put his arm out, and the dog grabbed the arm of the father instead of the baby. They would have killed that baby if the father didn't act so quickly.
And so the community basically said, no way, you're not going to do this. And then there's all these sort of claims, of course, by the corporate media and everyone else that there was sort of rioting by the humans. I just think that's called protesting. That's called angry people, right?
The true word is an uprising, because they said, we're tired, enough is enough. And then the second night, they killed another young man just a few blocks away.
Wow.
Joel Acevedo was also murdered the next night. Different circumstances, but still murdered. They're trained to tase. They're trained to tackle. That's what the previous training was. Their training now is shoot and ask later.
Leo had a question. Go
so
ahead.
Let me ask you one. Usually in situations like this, when it involves black and brown folks, all of us are criminals. All of us are suspects. And they try to justify their wrongs. So how have they tried to justify their wrongs, and have they tried to say bad things about your son? Like,
yeah, right away, he's a gang member. Right away, he had a gun. Right away, he was going to turn to the officer and possibly shoot. The officer said he was feared for his life, but the reality and the forensics show he was shot behind the head, not to the side of the head. He was not turning to the side. They demonize every one of the victims.
Yeah, and as Malcolm X said, that you can't tell if you believe the actual media, the people who are getting oppressed, they're doing something wrong. And the people that are oppressing people, they're doing something right.
So I know that we, all of us together, and so many other families who are done with this kind of police murder, as you pointed out, they're trained to kill. I say they're perpetrating kill. They're not trying to protect and serve. But we all showed up in Anaheim in July to support your family and so many more. How did that feel for you? Was it a powerful moment? Was it healing for you?
It was truly amazing. It was amazing knowing that so many families are in this type of tragedy, and for all of us to come together on the anniversary was just amazing. Not to say that it wasn't healing, but it just shows how much more work we have to do together as one.
And I really feel like just a shout out to listeners too, to realize that we cannot change the culture of the police unless we change the terms of how we're dealing with them. And that's for real. I mean, we at Poor Magazine have a no police calls engagement completely. That's one of the ways we do, with no engagement. But the reality is they're out there. They're out there gunning for our young people, whether we call them or not. And so, you know, it's about us families resisting with our voices and our bodies. And mamas like you, not stopping, as painful as this is, and continuing to tell the story and continuing to have your heart first and your resistance right there with you. Thank you for that, hon.
You're welcome. And, you know, whatever we can do to help each other, I believe we need to make another march, and we need to make it soon. While all of this is at the forefront, I believe Obama needs to get over here and talk to us. If he can talk for Trayvon and the nation, he needs to talk to California and the nation.
Well, with you, Mama. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
To read the story on the Anaheim Resistance March by poverty scholars Leontine Smith, go online to www.poormagazine.org/magazine. Also, shout out to Mama Scholar Misha Irizarry and her beautiful ancestor warrior son, Idris Stelly, who was born on August 21st and would have been with us, except he was murdered by the police.
Also, shout out to all the prison hunger strikers who continue to resist from inside the plantation walls. And for folks, if you want to read Plantation Prison Scholars, go online to www.poormagazine.org/magazine.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station.
So that's all for this segment on Poor News Network. Thanks to Andres Soto and Anthony Fez for the support and media access. And all the conscious listeners for keep on keeping on. All power to the people.